Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger in Jesus' name. One more time, Sunday morning, give him a shout, would you? Thank you, Lord. I know you believe that. Hallelujah. Well, open your Bibles today to the Gospel of John chapter 17. I am so excited about this new series that we're starting today that will go all month long on the weekends on You're Made for a Mission. I'm more excited about this series than any other series for the whole year. Really, Pastor? Well, I should think that, shouldn't I? I should not think, well, I'm going to give you warmed over food today. Amen. I'm more excited. I think this is going to help more people than any other series we've done this whole year, made for a mission. You see, you're not here on this planet to do nothing. You're not here to be passive. You're not here to exist, just exist, endure. You're not here just to make a living. You're not here just to raise a family. You're much more than that. Life, number one, is a test. Life, number two, is a trust. Life, number three, is a temporary assignment. Temporary assignment. We're talking about this whole month, why God made you, what God made you for, what is the most important thing in the eyes of God. We're talking about you've been made, I've been made, we've been made for a mission. And how apropos, our family just went and saw Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. Awesome movie, great movie, awesome movie. But you know, I go way back. You know, I watched Mission Impossible every week in the late 60s. How many young people I have at church today with me today? Amen. And I remember watching that way back then, Mission Impossible. It was a series. Some of you young people thought, well, you know, Tom Cruise came up with this. It goes way back to the 60s. And, you know, I can remember that it would be on a reel-to-reel, the mission. And then it would say, this is your mission if you would choose to accept it. And then, you know, in so many seconds, it's going to disintegrate. And so the mission would come on there, and he had a few seconds to choose if he would accept the mission or not. And then the reel-to-reel went up in smoke. It was so cool. Amen. It's so cool. And so, you know, just like Tom Cruise, you all got a mission. But you have a mission greater than his. You've been made for this mission. And I want to take you into the Word of God, and let's discover Scripture together, what the Word of God says about why you and I are on this planet, why we're here at this particular time. Timing is everything for God. You and I are not a mistake. He wanted you here in this generation, at this time, at this decade, and he has you made for a mission. Pastor, I want to know what the mission is. I want to know what my assignment is. Well, I'm going to do everything I can to present it to you from the Word of God this month. So as we study together, I want you to, as we look at Scriptures, you're going to see the word assignment, mission, calling, purpose, and they're all synonyms. They all mean the same thing. Right, church? So we're going to look at John chapter 17. Now, John 17 is the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. John 17 is the high priestly prayer. If you have a red letter edition Bible, most of it is red letter because it's Jesus praying. Now, it's different than the Lord's Prayer, and you and I are familiar with the Lord's Prayer, right? We love the Lord's Prayer. Do y'all remember in Matthew 6, the disciples came to him and said, we see you praying, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus gave them the model prayer. Am I right, church? Gave them the model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? So we love that prayer. That's called the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer. He gave it to his disciples. His disciples were so impressed with the prayer life of Jesus that they wanted him to teach them how to pray. So he gave it to them. Now, John 17 is a different prayer. John 17 is called the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God the Son, Jesus, is praying right now over you and me and the church. He's praying. The Bible says Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and what is he doing? Interceding for us. Well, I want to know what he's praying. Right here in John 17 is the prayer Jesus is praying for Christians, believers, Christ followers. This is what he's praying for you and me. So let's look at it. Let's pick it up. John 17, verse 18. And I want you to read it with me on the count of three. This is an amazing verse. On the count of three, all together, please. One, two, three. Wow, how clear is that right there? Jesus is saying, Father, just like you gave me a mission. Now, the word mission actually is defined as sending. Did you know that? Sending. It means sending in the Greek. But Jesus is saying, Father, just like you sent me with a mission into the world, so I send my followers with a mission into the world. Now, how clear can that be, right, church? So say it with me. I have been made for a mission in this world. So you're not an accident. You're not just here to do nothing. You're not just here to work, retire, and get a gold watch. You're not just here to raise a family. You're not just here to take your family on vacation, have a BMW, a pool in the backyard, and a little extra money. No, we're more than living, more than a job, more than a career. We've all been given a mission from the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I helping anybody so far? I mean, that should make you put your shoulders back, your head up high, and that should get you out of bed every morning knowing you have an assignment, you have a purpose, a plan for your life, you have a mission from the head of the church, and notice, in this world. So this is not for the next world. Now, what you and I do today will determine three words: your role, your responsibility, and your reward in heaven. What you and I are doing right now, thank God for those who are worshiping one, serving one, doing it with a right heart. The Bible says if you give a glass of water in the name of Jesus, you'll get a reward for that. So what we're doing now, remember, this life is a test. This life is a trust. Are we trusting God? And this life is a temporary assignment. The mission he called you and I to do in this world, it's impossible for us to do it in the next. The mission that he called all of us to do in this world, it's impossible to do in the next. That's why it's a temporary assignment. So Jesus, in the high priestly prayer, as the head of the church, is praying for you and I today that we'll get a revelation of what this mission is. Why we were born, why were we created, our purpose, our assignment, our mission in this world. He says, just like you gave me, Father, a mission, I've given a mission to every one of my followers. They were made for a mission. That's so powerful. Now, look with me, or you can just look on the overheads, Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. We're going to build, and then I'm going to give you three takeaways, okay? So Luke 2, verse 49. Now, this is Jesus when he was 12 years old. Everybody say 12. He's 12 years old. He's in the temple. His parents are looking for him. And look what he says. He said unto his parents, Joseph and Mary, how is it that you're seeking after me? Don't you know that I must be, he's 12. I must be about my, he knew at 12 he had a mission from his father. He knew at 12. So let's don't make light of our children's ministry and how important it is before they ever get to our youth department, because as a child, they can know God's assignment, God's call, and God's mission on their life. When I got born again at 11 years old, I knew I had a call on my life. At 11 years old is when I gave my life to Christ, and I knew I had a call, I had a mission, I had an assignment on my life that I was different, I was marked at 11. Here we see Jesus at 12 years old, he said to his father and mother, he said, don't you know that I've got to be about my Father's business? I'm on a mission and I have an assignment. It's powerful, isn't it? John chapter 17, let's go back to the prayer. John 17 and verse 4. This is an amazing verse. John 17 and verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth. Well, Jesus, how did you glorify God, the Father? How did you make God look good? How did you honor God? How did you please God? How did you bring glory to God? How did you do it? I have what? Finished the what? The work that you gave me to do. You can put the word in there, work for mission. We all have been made for a work, an assignment, and a mission. And how Jesus said, I've glorified you because what you gave me to do, the mission that you gave me to do, I gave a mission to all my followers. The work that you gave me to do, I've given a work to all of my followers. And the work you gave me to do, he said, I finished it. You know, all of us want to hear this when we die. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And do you know what the next verse says? Now enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what we want, right? That's what we're working for, and we're on a mission. He said, I've glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. Say this with me. God has given me a work to do. Now, let's read it in the Message translation. John 17, 4. In the Message, please. I glorified you on earth. Jesus, how did you glorify God? How did you make God happy? How did you please God? How did you honor the Lord? He said, I did it by completing, look at this, down to the last. Oh, my goodness. You know, when you pay attention to detail, it's called excellence. It's called the spirit of excellence. When you care about if the light bulb is out or you need a new one or the carpet is dirty or the trash is running over or the chair needs to be put away, when you care about how we look, how we dress, how we act, when we care about the words that we speak, when we care about our attitude, our appearance, and our everything about us, when we get down to that, it's called detail. It's called a spirit of excellence. Notice that Jesus said, I glorified you because what you gave me to do, the work and the mission, he said, I completed it down to every last detail. I finished it to the full. Wow. So not only are we made for a mission, we're to know what it is, and every day of our life, daily goals, daily goals, daily goals, daily goals. Weekly goals, weekly goals, monthly goals, quarterly goals that are pushing you towards completing the work and the mission that God has given to us. Am I helping anybody so far? All right. So he said, I've completed it down to the last detail. What you assigned. You notice the word assigned? You all have an assignment. That not only do we have a mission, not only do we have a work, we have an assignment. He made you for a mission. He created you to do a work. He has anointed you for an assignment. We're not just to be passive and down here and do nothing and waste our life. You and I want to know what that mission is, and we want to give our all, full effort, full results, to completing it down to the very last detail. So at the end, we made God look good with our life. We brought glory to God with a life of excellence. Are you with me so far, church? Now, Pastor, I want to know what this mission is. I mean, you're whetting my appetite. I want to know what it is. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts 20:24. I love this verse. In fact, I'm going to ask you to read it with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Family, do y'all see that verse? I got a question. Am I teaching the Bible today?
Yes.
Am I teaching Scripture today?
Yes.
And this is so important, isn't it? It's the most important thing you could be doing right now this morning. And look what the Apostle Paul said. I don't care about my own life. Folks, we're not here to serve ourselves. We're not here to fulfill our lust, appetites, and desires and ambitions. We're not here to do our own thing. We're not here to it's not about us. It's about Him and His mission for our life. And it's important. At 12, Jesus knew it. And 33, He completed it. He fulfilled it down to the very last detail. And in knowing His mission, working towards His mission every day of His life, setting daily goals that will push you towards completing the mission that God has for you, He glorified God. He made God look good. He made and honored the Lord with His life. He said, the Apostle Paul, I don't care about my own life. The most important thing. Everybody say the most important thing.
Most important.
Now, family, what is the most important thing? Well, Pastor, I just think it's about me making money. It's not the most important thing. Pastor, I just think it's about me having a retirement. You're not supposed to retire anyway. Pastor, I just think the most important thing is I just got to get out of debt and get a car and get a house, get a job, get a career. It's not the most important thing. Because all those things you cannot take to heaven with you. What's the most important thing? According to Scripture, the most important thing you should be breathing, eating, exercising, and sleeping for, building relationships for, growing spiritually for, the most important thing. This is the most important thing. He said, the most important thing is to complete my what?
Mission.
Well, what is it, Pastor? Okay, if you're a note taker, let me give you two things. Number one, you and I have a ministry to the church. Everybody say ministry. We all have been called with a ministry. Every member is a minister. Serve one, worship one. Right, church? Is that all of us, you know, we care, so we're aware. And we come to church today, and I walk through the lobby, loving on people. And because I care, I'm aware, and I'm listening, and I'm looking, and I want to be sensitive so that I can encourage one another. Pray for one another. Give to one another. Serve one another. This is what we're to do when we come to church, right, church? It is we all have been called to ministry to one another in the family of God, in the local church. There are so many one another's in the Bible, one another ministry. We're to carry each other's burdens, am I right? We're to seek the welfare of one another. We're to give to one another. We're to pray for one another. We're to provoke one another to good works. Am I right, church? So all of us, we have a twofold assignment. Every one of us who are Christ followers. Now, if you're not a Christ follower, you don't. But if you're a Christian, a Christ follower, a believer, you have, number one, you've been called to minister to one another in the body of Christ. It's called ministry. Number two, we've all been called with a mission to the world. A mission to the unbeliever. We have a ministry to the believer, but then we have a mission to the unbeliever. It's called the Great Commission. Am I helping everybody so far? I hope I am, because this makes it really clear why we have church, build buildings, gather together corporately, and then have small groups. This is why what we do, what we do. Now, some churches, all they'll focus on is ministry within, and they get fat spiritually and lazy and passive. Judgmental and condemning. Or you have other ministries, all they do is the mission to the world, and all they care about is outreach, street people, a homeless, the widow, the poor, under the bridges, missionaries. All they care about is the mission to the world. I've tried so hard for 35 years, and I'll continue as long as I'm your pastor, to have a balance at Church on the Rock. We should have ministry, and we should have mission. Our ministry is when we come here is to love one another, pray for one another, exhort, encourage, bless, give to one another, provoke one another to do more for God. But when you leave here, you have a mission to the world, the unbeliever. Everyone say ministry.
Ministry.
Say mission.
Mission.
Okay? Well, I want to know, we're talking about our mission today. You can go through Growth Track and find out what your ministry is. But I want to talk to you, what is our mission today? Now, Scripture interprets Scripture, right, church? Okay? So this is going to tell us what our mission is. You were made for a mission. We're going to talk about it all month. Well, what is my mission, Pastor? Here's what it is. I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete, to the last detail, my mission. Well, Paul, what is it? The work that the Lord Jesus, head of the church, gave to every one of us as believers. Well, come on, Paul, tell me what it is. There it is. To tell people the good news about God. Our mission as the church, and we will accept it, is when we leave here, every time we leave here, we understand we've been made for a mission, and that is in the highways and the byways to go tell the unchurched about the good news. Notice the Bible is not bad news. It's good news. It's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. To go into all the world and preach the good news to every person, everywhere. Are you with me, church? So what is our mission? Our mission is evangelism. Our mission is witnessing. Our mission is to share the good news. The church will never grow larger through worship. The church grows stronger through worship. The church will never grow larger through the teaching of the word. The church goes deeper through the teaching of the word. The only way the church gets larger is through evangelism. It's through you and I doing our work, our assignment, our mission, and that's to go tell everybody, everywhere, the good news. Am I making it clear today, family? Isn't this awesome? Now you know why you're here. Pastor, you know, it's just hard for me to do that. Let me tell you something. The only thing you can't do in heaven, the only thing you can't do in heaven as a Christian, the only thing you can't do in heaven as a Christian is witness. There's no one to witness to in heaven. This is why this earth is a trust, a test, and a temporary assignment and work and calling. And this is the only place you can witness. It's too late when you get there. There's not another chance. There's not another performance. There's not another show. This is a temporary assignment, and we all have a mission, and we will accept it because we want to bring glory and honor to God with our life, and our mission is to the world. Our ministry is to the church. And our mission to the world, what is it, Pastor, to be goofy, weird, religious? No. It's to tell everyone, everywhere, the good news. Did y'all see it from the Bible there? Okay, let's look at another scripture. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Living Bible. Boy, I love the word. Don't you love the word? Oh my goodness. Mark 16, 15. And then he told them, you are to go into all the world. Go. Go. Two-thirds of God's name is go. G-O-D. Go. And you're to go into all the world. So we have a mission to the world, church. Some churches, all they do is ministry to themselves and forget about the world. Other churches, all they do is care about the world, but they forget about the saint. And the saint doesn't get stronger or deeper or closer to God, and they're not fed. At Church on the Rock, I want to equip you for ministry and your mission, which is to go tell the world, everyone, everywhere, the good news. So look what he says, go into all the world and preach the good news, not bad news, not condemning people, not judging people, not showing disrespect to people, not putting people down, but sharing with them the good news. Well, Pastor, I just want to know where I'm supposed to go. Okay, the world, what does that mean? Scripture, interpret Scripture. Note this Scripture, family. Where's the world? Everyone. 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 Gas station, grocery store, Wally World, Target, JCPenney's, right? Famous Bar, Macy's, wherever. Everyone, everywhere. Everyone, everywhere. So that means I've got to really care so that I'm aware when I'm outside this campus that I have a mission. I am a person on a mission. I'm intentional. I'm listening. I'm looking. I'm not caught up in feeling sorry for myself. I'm making God look good. And I'm going everywhere telling everyone the good news. Well, Pastor, I just want to know what that good news is. I didn't go to college, and I don't know the Bible. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to know the Bible. What? You do not have to know the Bible. You do not have to know scriptures. You do not have to have a PhD or whatever, some degree, BABS. You don't have, even though Southeastern University is starting a church on the rock. It's good, 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 good. But you don't have to have that to run with your mission. And what is your mission? It's out there. And your mission is to tell everyone, everywhere, the good news. As the team comes out, what is the good news? Number one, you tell them when you have an opportunity. Now, it all starts with your interest, your commonness, your common bond with somebody. Y'all have a circle of friends that you run with. You know, last night, Saturday night, we have a family comes to our church, and this guy, he's a brother in the Lord. They've been coming for years, and he has a Norton motorcycle, a Norton. He's over the Norton Club of St. Louis, over the whole club. Well, he has a Norton motorcycle, and I have a 1974 850 Commando Norton motorcycle. So last night, what do you think we were talking about out in the lobby when I greeted them when they came through the door? Norton motorcycles. And notice we didn't have to force it, didn't have to make it happen. What was it? A common interest. So just like here at Church on the Rock, you want to start interest groups outside here with people that do what you do and like to do what you do. And then you look for opportunities to what? Share the good news. Well, Pastor, I just want to know what the good news is. I'm coming to it. Number one is you tell them, their past is forgiven. That's good news, to know that our past is forgiven. To let people know that God is for them, God has a purpose for their life, God's not mad at them, that God loves them, Christ died for them. To let them know it's not God condemning them, it's not God bringing up their faults, their mistakes, and their mishaps, and wrong choices, wrong decisions, and bloopers, and all the things, and all the wrong things, and all the wrong things we did with all the wrong people. Good news to tell somebody, you know what? You come to God, and God will forgive your past. Your past can be forgiven. Isn't that a good news? No more skeletons in your closet. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to worry about, you know, your past. And even though people will bring it up, God won't bring it up. That's good news. You'd be surprised at people that are in insane asylums that can't forgive themselves. The people that are on drugs, that all kinds of addictions. And by the way, we have something to help them with. It's called Celebrate Recovery every Thursday night. But the people who can't forgive themselves, they can't forgive what they did, who they did it with, and the terrible things. You know, it's good news to tell them that if you come to God in Christ, number one, the good news is your past is forgiven. Number two, the good news, 3 points. Number two is a purpose has been given. God has a purpose for your life. God is for you, and God has a purpose for your life. And people want to know why they're here for. People want to know that they can be significant, that they can add value, that they're needed, wanted, accepted. Just like the young lady in our video, growing up in church, she was hurt because she didn't feel accepted. When you let them know the good news, when you look for openings, when you're running with people that like what you like to do, and you look for an opening and you let them know, hey, I got some good news for you. You know my past, yeah? My past is forgiven. Huh? Yeah, you come to God. Number one, the good news is this. Your past is forgiven. Number two, a purpose is given. God has a purpose for your life. God has a ministry and a mission. God has a calling and an assignment. You're not a mistake. You are important. You are significant. You're to make a difference with your life. And then number three, third point of the good news. Come back next Sunday morning. Okay. And the third point is that you have a place in heaven. You have a place in heaven. Oh my goodness. How many people are afraid of death, afraid of the future, afraid of the unknown, the hereafter? They all want to know about it, but are all afraid of it. It's good news when you tell them that, you know what? Well, I came to Jesus and you know my story and he forgave my past. My past is forgiven. And now, you know, I live on purpose. I live with conviction. I live with courage. I live with boldness because a purpose has been given. I know my purpose, my ministry in the church, my mission outside the church. And then number three, I'm not afraid to die. He took the sting of death, the fear of death. I got a place. I got a mansion in heaven. And what I'm doing now, wow, I want to glorify God. And what I'm doing now is going to determine my role, responsibility, and rewards throughout eternity. It's called the good news. So let me give you, in conclusion, 3 points. Josh will put it, has it up here for us on the board. 3 points, and these are your takeaways. Number one, we've all been given an assignment. We've all been given an assignment. And what is that? We have a ministry within the church, but we all have a mission outside the church. Number two, we all have been called to complete it and finish it. Not half-heartedly, not lukewarm, not show up, not inconsistent, don't see it as important. Remember, if you're an usher, the most important thing you could do today is be an usher. Remember, whatever you are in the house of the Lord, the most important thing you could be doing today is be at your post and give your best. The most important thing you can do today is when you go out to lunch, really, we have these cards for you on the way out. We're giving you a tool. It says that something a little extra to show you today. On the card, it says something a little extra to show you God is for you. And then on the back, and we are for you too at Church on the Rock. Wow, when you tip them, when you do an act of kindness, when you do something good for somebody, just give them this card with it. And what are you doing? You're completing, you're working towards every day. And here's an assignment. Why don't you sit down this afternoon and write down the 10 people you want to lead to God by December 31? And you just start, oh, Pastor, that's overwhelming. No, no, just write down 10 people that you want to lead to God by the end of this year and just start praying for them. Just start praying for them. And then number three, our assignment is to tell everyone today at lunch and everywhere throughout the week the good news and about God's kindness. I'm out of time. Did y'all get something from the Word of God today? Come on, let's thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.